عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله.
اللهم صل على
أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المخلصين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال ربنا العزيز في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله، على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني، وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. وأجل.
The basic results of iman and faith and religious and religiosity and commitment to faith, it showcases itself in our manners and our behavior, in the Islamic mannerism. That's the first fruit of being religious and being committed to religion and practicing religion, is the way you behave, the way you deal with people. الدين المعاملة. Deen is interaction. And deen is behavior, and deen is temperament and manners. And the road, the fastest highway to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, goes through akhlaq, Islamic mannerism. Humility, being thoughtful and considerate to human being around you, regardless of what they believe in, regardless of their nationality, of their wealth, of their color. As long as they are a human being, we have to be considerate to them. That's the best way that takes us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الطريق إلى الله, the road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
emphasizes this aspect of Islam, the aspect of mannerism, the aspect of behavior. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, innal abda, verily the servant of God, abd, verily the servant of God, لَيَبْلُغُ, he or she would reach, بِحُسْنِ خُلْقِهِ, with his good manners, with his good akhlaq, عَظِيمَ دَرَجَاتِ الْآخِرَةِ, the highest levels of success in the akhirah, وَشَرَفِ الْمَنَازِلِ فِيهَا, and the most honorable positions there, وَهُوَ ضَعِيفُ الْعِبَادَةِ, while his ibadah is very moderate, is not heavy. He does a moderate worshipping. He does not spend all his time praying or fasting. His ibadah is da'if, moderate. But because of his manners are good. And the result of the healthy ibadah are healthy manners. When someone, his manners are bad, it means his ibadah, there is a problem with his worshiping. There is a problem with his prayers and his fasting. He's not doing it for Allah. So this is one hadith. The second hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, جعل الله سبحانه وتعالى مكارم الأخلاق صلة بينه وبين عباده. God has connection with us. He has a connection. We are connected to Him through a special WhatsApp with God. That special WhatsApp is مكارم الأخلاق, good manners, humility, thoughtfulness, being considerate, being humble, being kind, being generous. These are makarim al-akhlaq. To sacrifice your life for others, to give, to donate, to stand with others at the time of needs. These are makarim al-akhlaq. Allah says, this is how you connect with me. Do you want to connect with me? صِلَةً بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ. It's a connection between Himself and His servants. فَحَسْبُ أَحَدِكُمْ. It suffices you. What does suffices mean? It suffices you أَنْ يَتَمَسَّكَ بِخُلُقٍ مُتَّصِلٍ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Embrace one of these traits, one of these manners, you get good connection with Allah. Become a generous person, you have good connection. Become a forgiving person. Don't keep the grudge in your heart. Say, there is no room for hate, for grudge, for animosity in my heart. My heart is clean. Then you get connection with Allah, fast connection. Be forgiving, be generous, be kind. These are the qualities that God loves, and He says, if you embrace them, you connect with me. There is no other way you can connect with me. I don't have a company here, a corporation. I don't have a business that you can connect with me. These are the ways. Makarimul akhlaq. Makarimul akhlaq. And therefore, my friends, what is the meaning of worshipping? Many people ask us, many non-Muslims, they ask the Muslims, what is your worshipping? What's the meaning and the definition, ma'na, of ibadah, of worshipping, of service? I tell them, ibadah means that we are the agents of God on earth. We work for Him. And the work of agents like us is to recruit others. Recruit them through what? Through akhlaq, through reaching out to them, through sharing your life, a life of goodness, a life of wholesomeness, a life of kindness, a life of truth and honesty with others. This is how you recruit them. In the way of God, for the cause of God, we have to recruit others. We have to bring others into this tradition, into this cause, into this way. We work for Him. This is the meaning of ibadah. The meaning of ibadah is to practice generosity and kindness and forgiveness and thoughtfulness, and bring people through these means. Through these means, bring them to Islam. Bring them to Allah. What some people are doing, they are not doing it the right way. The radicals, the extremists, they think that they can attract people to Islam through violence, through the sword, through hate. That does not work. Not only it does not work, not only you cannot attract people to God, people will start running away from God and running away from religion. And at the end of the day, not only those, the radicals, are going to be losers, people who live around them also are going to be losers. That's not the way. The ideology of the Salafis today is that we have to use the sword, quwwah, force, and terror to bring people to Islam. Can you tell me of a story that happened, you know about it, that you could attract one single individual to Islam through violence, showing him violence, showing him radicalism and hate? Where is it? That does not work. Makarimul akhlaq. To attract people to God, to recruit them in the way of God, is to show them the beauty of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We say it, but we don't practice it. How many times we mention compassion and mercy every day, in every sentence? We say it, but in our daily life, we don't practice it. Therefore, the Holy Quran uses a very amazing term to describe certain people. He uses the term apes or monkeys. Why apes and monkeys? فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. We condemned them because of their violations and atrocities and wrongdoings. We condemned them to be like apes. Why apes out of all the kingdom of animals? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term qirada, apes, for a reason? Because apes and monkeys, they practice things without understanding the meaning behind them. They imitate, they emulate, but they don't know why. They only know the physical side of it. They don't know the spiritual value of it. Allah says there are some Muslims who pray, but they only know the physical side of the prayers, not the spiritual side. Therefore, they are like apes. They don't understand the philosophy of religion. They do pray. They do pray 5 times a day, sometimes more than 5 times a day. But when it comes to their manners with their families, with people around them in the communities, they don't behave well. They behave exactly opposite to the spirit and the ethics and the lessons of the prayers and religion. Therefore, they become like apes. Apes, their actions are only mechanical, not spiritual. Physical acts. But they don't understand them. If you pray, if you bring an ape today and you pray in front of the ape, he will do exactly the same. He will do ruku' and sujood. But does he understand what he is doing? He doesn't. فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. I read a study about a few days ago, which really disturbed me. And I want to share this study with you. It was published here in the United States of America. And the study is under this title, The American View of Islam. How does American people view our religion? It was a poll conducted and a study that finds 55% of American people, they hold an unfavorable view of Islam. This is very diplomatic, the term. Huh? They are not using hate or prejudice or this. They say unfavorable view of Islam. And then, of course, they say that 70 of those who have been interviewed in this study, in this research, they neither worked with a Muslim nor have a Muslim friend, 70% of them. And of course, what do you expect of someone who does not know anything about Islam? What does he know? What does he or she know? When they watch the media, and what do they find on the media about Islam? Always the name of Islam in the media is associated with beheadings, with terror, with kidnapping, with bombing, with fighting among each other. What else you find? Do you hear a good story about a success story about the Muslims, a good achievement about Muslims or Islams anywhere nowadays in the news? You hear nothing but America produces the weapon and we are the only users of these weapons, alhamdulillah. America produced the weapon and Muslims are the only consumers of these weapons. We are good when it comes to American weapons, we are the first consumers. When it comes to American cigarettes, the Muslims are the first consumers. Even alcohol, I believe. Even alcohol. So what else? What do you expect of someone who knows nothing about Islam? He has no Muslim friend. He has no Muslim co-worker. What do you expect of him or her to think about Islam? Of course, they would not have a favorable view of Islam. They're going to have a suspicious view. And this is our work, our friends, my friends. This is our responsibility. Because we don't have civic engagement. Some Muslims, they are good at building mosques. They are good at reciting Quran and praying. But they are not good at establishing a relationship in the society with their neighbors, with others. How many of our Islamic centers they have interfaith relations? Very few. Very few. Even at our Islamic center, out of, let's say, 1,000 participants, we have only 5 people who are interested in interfaith activities. The rest are not interested. How many of our Muslim community members are interested in civic engagement in the society? Let's say with shelter for the homeless, let's say with food drive, soup kitchen, things like that. How many of us? So of course, when you don't participate, when you don't engage, when you are invisible, when you are not present in the arena, people would not know you. And therefore, if they don't know you, they don't know about your religion. All what they hear about your religion is from the media, not from you. Believe me, those Americans who love the Muslims, and many of them they do, many of them I meet, many Muslims, they respect Muslims. And when I ask them why, he says, because my neighbor is a Muslim. I know him. I've been knowing him for 20 years. A very good man, very good family. Because they know someone in the Muslim community. This is why Allah says, we created you into tribes and nations, لِتَعَارَفُوا, to know each other. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ. We made you into these nations and tribes and religions and countries, لِتَعَارَفُوا, to get to know each other. Once you know each other, you start respecting each other. But if you don't know each other, you become suspicious about each other. If you don't define yourself, your own self, through your own relationship, then the media is going to define you. And we should not let the media or someone else, an outsider, to define me. I have to define myself through my own participation, through my own contribution, through my own engagement in civic life. I say sometimes to our youth, that in America, what is your jihad? What is your call here in this country? What is it? Allah does not want you to carry the sword and run in the street and shout, Allahu Akbar. No, He doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to carry the Quran and say, I want Islamic Sharia. No. He says civic engagement. Be a good citizen in this country. See in your neighborhood, in your city, if there is a need, you have to be the first volunteer. This is your jihad. Introduce Islam through love, through kindness, through social work, social relationship, through brotherhood and sisterhood. Then at the end, if you want to give a copy of the Quran, then they will ask for your book. But don't go and give the Quran while all what you do is beheading and killing. People are not going to respect your Quran. People are going to look at you, not your book. And this is how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Conducted himself through his humanitarian outreach. through his relationship, through his manners, through his forgiveness with others in Medina. This is how people were attracted to Islam, when they look at the behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They look at his forgiveness. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. I hope and I pray that inshallah we will take care of this side, and we will increase our civic engagement in this society. Be present, be visible, so people know you, and through you they get introduced to your ideology, to your religion, to your Islam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. For almost a month now, the Saudi forces have been pounding and destroying civilian targets, civilian installations, and people in the country of Yemen, which is considered the poorest country among the Arab or Muslim nations. Thousands of people lost their lives. The majority of them, the vast majority of them, are civilians. Over 350 of them are children. Many of them are innocent women, elderly. They bombed hospitals. They bombed schools. They bombed streets and bridges and marketplace and mosques. Many mosques were destroyed in these bombings. And they achieved nothing but more mayhem and more suffering and more misery for a poor nation, for a nation that has been starving for so many decades. And not only physical destruction and devastation, but also mental and spiritual. They divided the Muslims. They created division and hatred among the Muslim Ummah. They achieved nothing. And these things, ironically, are taking place by a force not called Israel. Israel are doing another job in Palestine, working on another front. These things are happening in Yemen by a person who calls himself Hamil Haramain al-Sharifain, the custodian, the leader of the two holy shrines in Mecca and Medina. We're supposed to protect the Muslims and aid the Muslims and it bring life, and it bring hope, and it bring food and medicine and peace and security. But instead, this is what is happening. From day one, Ali Saud, from day one of coming to power 300 years ago, they always used their weapon against the Muslims, not for the Muslims. From the day that their weapons were only a sword, piece of iron called sword, they used to kill and murder and slaughter innocent Muslims in Saudi Arabia, in Hijaz, which is Mecca and Medina, in Najd, which is central Arabia, in the south, in Yemen, in the north, in Iraq, in neighboring countries, until today. While Israel was bombing the Palestinians in Gaza, the Saudi never sent a single bullet, never fired a single bullet to protect the Palestinians, the people of Gaza, the people of Palestine. They deployed their army in Bahrain, a small island, against peaceful demonstrators who asked for their freedom, for their dignity. They deployed their tanks and their armies in Bahrain. And now they are deploying their air force, the F-15 and F-16, against the Yemeni people. This is their Islam. This is the version of the Islam in Saudi Arabia. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Allah keeps an eye on an evildoer. They cannot escape Allah's punishment. And you will see. You will see, my friends, my brothers and sisters, you will see the repercussion of the Saudi aggression in Yemen and Bahrain and elsewhere. You will see it. You will see what will happen among the royal family and among their coalition, their supporters in the Gulf states. You will see that. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. I remember, and many of you remember in this audience, when Saddam Hussein launched his war against Iran, the entire world stood with Saddam Hussein. All Arab nations, except Syria. Only one man in Syria said, I'm not going to attack a country, an Islamic country, an Islamic nation. The rest, they consider Saddam Hussein Batalul Arab, the hero of the Muslim Ummah. Where is Saddam Hussein now? Where did they find him? This hero, where was he found? How he was captured, Saddam Hussein? Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. There is a system of justice there. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. They plot, they devise plans, and Allah also has plans. وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Allah also draws plans for us. But the plans of Allah are much better and more forceful. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ وَلَا يَحِيقُ الْمَكْرُ السَّيِّئُ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِهِ. Allah says this evil plotting that they plot to destroy nations, it will hunt them down, the aggressors. And it just started to happen. You will see the results slowly, slowly. You will see these bloods of those innocents. What hurts me is that Yemen is the poorest country. When I look at these images of a country who hardly has basic infrastructure, they hardly have a small hospital, and then they come and they bomb this hospital while there are patients there. Allah does not forget and would never forgive. And we will see the result of that. And we have to stand with the oppressed. Allah says, raise your voice. If you can use your hand, use your hand. If not, use your tongue. If not, بالقلب وذلك أضعف الإيمان. At least with your heart, pray for those who are oppressed. And one thing before I conclude, I want to address our government, the United States of America. You are sending weapons, your F-16s, F-15s, and other missiles to aggressors in the region because of the economic profit. They are using the talent of the American people, the technology of the American people here to kill, not to build, to kill the innocents. When Israel uses them against the Palestinians, civilians, when Saudi Arabia using it against the Yemenis and the Bahrainis and the others, you are helping the wrong people. And this one also has a consequences. When you stand with the zalim, with the oppressor, against the oppressed. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. When someone is oppressing, don't stand with him or her. Even if he's your government, don't stand, don't support. Allah has given you the freedom of choice and dignity and a brain and reason. So you are helping the wrong people and the wrong governments, and that has a repercussion. So it's better to stop. Do not, for the sake of some gain, monetary, financial gain, do not participate in a massacre against innocent people of Yemen or elsewhere. Don't do that. Don't stand with the oppressors. Al Saud, you will see that in our lifetime, and it will be soon. They will go, Al Saud. They will go. You will see that. All those who were around them, they went. And their turn is coming, inshallah. Allah says, sometimes I give the oppressor, I give him the chance to reach the peak, the top, then I will take him all of a sudden. They have reached the peak in their aggression, in their dhul, in their injustice, in their corruption. They reached the peak. Their money is used to create fitna everywhere, everywhere in the world. You travel, if you find a fitna, two countries behind this fitna, Saudi Arabia and Israel. Two countries. Rather than uniting the Muslims, bringing them together, creating Muslim harmony, Muslim understanding, Muslim unity, respect, they create fitna. In Syria, who created the war in Syria for the last 4 years? The money of Saudi Arabia. The plans of Saudi Arabia, the logistics of Saudi Arabia. Until now. In Iraq, the same thing. In all countries, you see the hand of Saudi Arabia. And Allah would not forgive. And He will not forget. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمَرْصَادِ. We will keep praying, inshallah, for the victory of the people of Yemen, the victory of the people of Bahrain, the victory of the people of Syria and Lebanon and Palestine, and all those who are oppressed. We pray for them, and also we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hasten the reappearance of our last Imam, the 12th Imam, Al-Mahdi Al-Muntadhar, Ajjalallahu ta'ala, Farajahu Al-Sharif. My brothers and sisters, tomorrow we have a workshop, an important workshop here, which is about marriage and family, so Sunday. So I urge you to come and participate. For those who are already married, this is good. For those who are planning to get married, inshallah, is better. And really, there are some experts here. And this is, today, marriage and family is the talk of the town. This is what we all need to learn to make our families and our marriages stronger and safer, inshallah ta'ala. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat, wal muslimina wal muslimat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين من على مرضانا وجرحانا بالشفاء والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.